Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Because he's already lost a little bit of a step. I mean, that's going to be natural. He's still great. Still a great receiver. I'd love to have him on the Raiders.
It looks like he's lost a step because he was playing next to Juju all the time.
Right.
Still fantastically effective. He runs every route on the field.
Is he?
That's the difference.
Let me ask you this. Is he worth
with Robbie Anderson, he's just a fly route king.
Is he worth the number 27 pick?
Yes.
You'd give it up?
All day.
Yeah, I think so too. Because what are you drafting at?
You're trying to get somebody like him. Even you're going to have three, four, maybe even longer good years with him. Good ones.
Right.
Maybe even some star ones.
Because
you expect the first couple to be star ones.
And I'm just using the Raiders as an example because they're just one of the more obvious teams that can get him. But like you're moving to Vegas in 2020. You need to make a splash.
But
you can't be a crappy team.
You're really trying to convince yourself of this. Laid out, you guys don't have the kind of locker room, right, that's going to be able to survive a guy like that in terms of through bad times. Going to be a lot of those with y'all in the next few years.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Maybe
we just need to stockpile a bunch of young guys. I mean, maybe that's true. Because, I mean, maybe you win seven games with Antonio Brown, but you never make the playoffs, and you have to tear it down again anyway. Maybe you're just kind of putting the ball down the field, you know?
Are you putting him at DB, too? Y'all winning seven games? Antonio Brown makes that much of a difference for y'all? You winning seven games?
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Please.
Dude, he
– Where is the AFC West
guy?
Thank you.
It's so crazy.
I mean, is Kansas City still in the West? The Rams, the Chargers, whatever they are, Los Angeles? They still in there?
We still have two first-round picks this year. Those guys will come in immediately and help us, yes. And we'll make some splashes in free agency. We'll win seven games next
year. Denver still got a defense, at least. Y'all ain't winning seven games anytime soon.
Denver's trash, all right?
Birmingham Raiders. Pipe dream.
But that is the latest. Antonio Brown says it's time to move on and move forward from Pittsburgh. Courtney Adam Schefter, nothing new necessarily. He's not been traded or released, but he wants a trade, and he has officially requested that.
Coming for you, buddy.
So we will keep you updated. All right, we'll come back. Clay Trav's going to join us at 12:25. Jason and John.
He quit on them, too.
92.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Change your mind.
Maybe you're trying to get your woman back. Tell you a way you can do it this Valentine's Day. You can do it with Denstals. You can make up with Denstals. Love's in the air. It's Valentine's Day this week, man. You should know that. It's Thursday. Let Denstals be the place to get you back in and out of that doghouse. You can buy her what she needs for Valentine's Day. Heart-shaped boxes of Denstals handmade candies. Boy, they usually do the trick for me. Probably will for you as well. You can choose from your favorite assortment of fresh chocolates made daily, from caramels and fudge to nougats and creams to nuts and my favorite, the tartlettes. You cannot forget about their cashew crunch as well. It is delicious, as are their chocolate-covered strawberries. You order yours now for Valentine's Day. The supplies are limited, so you'll need to get to it now. There's no better way to say I love you or let me out of the doghouse, honey, than with Denstals. For over 100 years, their family's created handmade chocolates using only the finest ingredients in their Memphis candy kitchen, and is a wonderful place. There's four convenient locations: Laurelwood, Germantown, Pleasant View, the one I go to, or their new store out in Collierville. Denstals, made in Memphis and enjoyed by the whole world this Valentine's Day. All right, every day at this time we do the rundown. Why don't we get to it?
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest midday stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Memphis Grizzlies, give it to me, Bennett. Let's go. versus tonight, the suddenly struggling John San Antonio Spurs. Not sure if you knew this, but your Spurs, who at one time were looking very good, with Rudy Gay doing the damn thing these days for them, have lost four in a row coming into this one, John, to start out a tough five-game road trip that they had before the All-Star break. This will be their final game, the Spurs, I'm speaking of, before the All-Star break. Those losses came at Sacramento, at Golden State, at Portland, at Utah. So they are trying to finish this thing up, this first half, on a better note with a win tonight over the Grizzlies. For your Memphis Grizzlies, it's the first of back-to-back games before that All-Star break. Tonight they've got the Spurs, as you know. Then tomorrow they take on my struggling-slash-tanking Chicago Bulls up in Chicago before they head off to All-Star break. And it'll be a break for some, not so for Mike Conley. He'll go participate. Whether it's a good for Memphis, it's the opportunity here, and I don't even realize it, I don't think John Martin realizes this. I know Bennett and I certainly do. It's the opportunity to win four of your last six here before the break. If you can split these two, I mean, you'd love to see them knock off the Spurs tonight. They've certainly had some success against the Spurs this season, but again, it's a Spurs team that comes in here having lost four in a row, so you know they've got the DEFCON level up. They're trying to close this out on a positive note. So you figure, hey, maybe you lose tonight. You still beat Chicago tomorrow night. You've won four of your last six heading into the break. That's a good thing for this team. When we know that right now what the mission is to finish outside of the top eight, convey the pick.
Yep.
Four out of six before the break gives you some confidence. Gives you some confidence, not just the fans. In thinking that you can do this, but more importantly, for those players, we've talked about it. They're playing a faster style without Marc Gasol. Not sure if it helps them tonight, but certainly expect them to be able to beat a team like the Bulls. So if you can split, hey, be four out of six going in the All-Star break. Everybody be happy, and I certainly know a little CJ would because, man, it's been a rough last few weeks, last couple of months for the Memphis Grizzlies. Things look a little better right now, at least on the court.
Yeah.
As much as they can.
San Antonio favored by 4.5. Tonight.
I told you it's because they've lost four.
This is their rodeo road trip, right? Like their famed rodeo.
Yeah, because I think after the break they go back out for three more.
Yeah.
So all together it'll be eight straight road games, you know, sandwiched around the break.
Historically they kill.
Mm-hmm.
That's like they're famous for that.
0-4 to start.
They are 0-4 to start. Interesting note, Jonas Valanciunas has not gotten his immigration paperwork done, which is a little bit unfortunate. Because the Grizzlies kind of need him.
Yeah, I could use that body. Yeah, thank you.
Well, no, I'm just like not just.
No, I'm serious. Like
not just use him, but like he would start. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, like you got to think like he would or you know be a huge piece at least, right? Like to be a huge contributor for them because like he's in theory gonna soak up a lot of those Marc Gasol minutes. So
well, he's coming off injury.
Right, he is coming off injury.
I'm sure
so
they're gonna work.
They'll work
him
in.
Work
there's
him
no
in.
Question about that. But they traded to have him, so that would be nice to have him. So, yes, San Antonio is favored by 4.5 tonight inside FedEx Forum.
Have you seen him lately?
I think the guy is unbelievable, though. I mean, I know they're on a swoon here, but, like, you just look up, and it doesn't matter what that dude's roster looks like.
Well, that part of it. I'm just talking about he looks done. There was before this four-game losing streak, and I don't have it in front of me. They had a win on a Rudy Gay last-second shot, and you remember he said they got robbed that they should have won the game.
Yep.
Because he could sense they were losing it. They were both defensively, offensively, they were just kind of coming apart at the seams, and you saw him even after a win say, "Man, this thing's a mess right now," and said we should have lost the game, quite frankly, and he could see it coming.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, man, you just look at him right now physically, he looks like a man that is worn down to the max, and I think, John, it's because they're not winning.
Right.
The way they've got to win this year, it's not his style, right?
Yeah.
You have that ball's popping around. You see a lot of Rudy Gay ISO when you watch the Spurs right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying that's what's got him at his wits' end or ready to – because everybody's speculated that this might be the last one for Pop. I'm not telling you it's Rudy Gay that's putting him in the morgue that's going to finish him off.
Yep.
But he just looks tired and just kind of looks like, you know, maybe those greatest years are behind us and I'm at my end. That's just kind of the feel I get when I look at him. You telling me that when Valanciunas is healthy, you're putting him in the starting lineup over Rapp?
No, you're probably not.
No,
I mean, you're probably
no,
not. But he's
going
to get a lot of minutes.
Though. He's here to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not featuring him. You don't need to do any of that. You keep
right.
Featuring your man Ivan Rapp, letting him keep eating those minutes and developing.
Yeah, he's
just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, but I mean, Valanciunas is a young guy. I mean, relatively, he's only 26.
Oh, he's going to play. Yeah. Yes, I wouldn't. My strategy would not be to put him ahead of Rab. Not with the way Rab's playing. Not with the way he's eating these minutes and doing a great job with him.
Right.
I want to continue to see that. I think that's the most important thing for them. Now, if you can win with Rab, right, and it's just win to the point that you're trying to convey, then that's a win-win.
Yep, it is.
You develop him and get out of the 1-8.
It is. There you go. The Grizzlies in action tonight at FedEx Forum.
Next story.
Kyler Murray, I don't think this was a surprise to anybody that's been following this story, but Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner from Oklahoma, is going to pursue a career in the NFL. He tweeted yesterday that he is fully committing his life and time to becoming an NFL quarterback. Obviously, he was scheduled to report to the Oakland A's for spring training later this week, and he's obviously not going to do that. He has to return $1.29 million of his $1.5 million signing bonus, which means he gets to keep $210,000, which, as other people on Twitter have pointed out, that is, in a lot of cases, more than any minor leaguer will ever make over the course of their career. He just gets to keep it. You know what I mean? He does forfeit the remaining $3.16 million, which would have been due March the 1st. They retain his rights, do the Oakland Athletics. They don't get a draft pick out of it, though. He is an interesting prospect, Kyler Murray is, for the NFL. You're not surprised by this decision, are you?
No.
I don't think the
A's were either.
Right.
They knew, and you heard them talking about it since the decision. They've come out and talked about this, been asked about it. When you saw him go out there and win the Heisman, you had to know that this
no
was
doubt.
Probably coming.
No doubt.
And even at that point, I don't think he'd made it clear what his preference is, the one he loves more. I don't know. I mean, maybe you're holding out hope, but I think what we know is that baseball has a harder time right now. They're trying to get it fixed. It's one of the reasons why they met with him.
No doubt.
Marketing its stars.
Oh, he would have been great for Major League Baseball.
Probably so.
I mean, let's just be
In terms of the direction you want to move, right? I mean,
let's just be honest about it. Let's be honest about Major League Baseball.
You got to get young and fun.
Well,
baseball, you got to do something.
Also, like it would matter that Kyler Murray is African American. Like, he's a young African American, dynamic athlete.
But because our numbers have been dying in baseball.
You just make the game more, you know, relatable, like, to everybody, right? And baseball, it feels like, has been closed off to the not just black people, but just young people in general, right? Like, I don't have any friends. I don't have one friend that's my age who watches baseball or even remotely knows what is happening.
It's late 70s, early 80s. We were at our peak. And now it's sort of it's Latin America that's coming, taking that spot,
right,
that we once. And I got it. I mean, yes, I mean, you've seen the Redbirds one time had the RBI program where you're trying to bring baseball back to the inner cities.
Yep.
And I would go to these high schools, John, where there were, you know, baseball fields. They were there because those high schools have been playing baseball for years, and you'd have a hard time fielding a team at a lot of these places.
Yep.
Fairly baseball used to have a great baseball program. The problem was, John, by the time they got to a regional or a late district championship or the point where you could get eliminated, they'd run into one of the county teams, man,
yep,
and they would get waxed. And why would they do that? Because those players are playing year-round.
No doubt.
Just like what we see with the grassroots in basketball.
Yep.
Those players are playing year-round, and it's a full thing for them. So it's an unlevel playing field. Now, all of that said, mm-hmm, I don't know how many of us are looking at it now as, like, you look at baseball – And I think you look at it as long money now. If you're a young African American kid that sees, hey, I can go work on my basketball game with just a basketball and the hoop at the park.
Right.
Baseball, I got to have all this other stuff, and I can get it quicker. Football, sort of the same. You can get paid up front. Baseball, there's a good chance you struggle in the minors,
yep,
forever, like you just talked about. You may never make it through. That's, I think, for so many that. Maybe you've got some baseball talent. You know, maybe you've got some, but that's a long haul thing. To whereas the others,
right?
You know, obviously, I tell you, you know, just like my parents told me, Jason, you ain't gonna be an athlete anyway. You better hit them books.
Right.
But for so many of us, we do see it as the way out, and I think baseball and basketball lend themselves to that more so than excuse me, football and basketball football, do than, basketball. More than baseball does.
Right. I mean, beyond the, you know.
Yeah, it would help having Kyler Murray, but, John, I'm not sure that if Kyler Murray's play, it's not like a Tiger Woods thing where all of a sudden you've got black people watching black people going to baseball.
But if he turned out to be amazing.
Well, yeah, you need youth and you need excitement, and right. That's what baseball's lacking.
Right.
I mean, but they also have a marketing problem because.
They have a huge marketing problem.
I mean, do you know who Mike Trout is?
I know who he is. Barely.
Right,
he plays for the Angels.
Because you're the fringe guy, the guy that doesn't really watch baseball too much, but knows, yes, he plays for the Angels. He's one
Super athletic.
He's one of the best players in baseball. Yeah. And you hear all the time about Bryce Harper and probably Chris Bryant from me, and Trout is awesome.
And I know Machado.
He can't even get a contract because nobody wants to pay these big, huge.
See, that's another
issue.
Like, even the stars aren't getting paid. You know, so like I think beyond the obvious optics of the young America does not care about baseball.
That's what I'm feeling.
Like they just don't.
Just Kyrie and the drama of that and KD, like all their off-court drama, suck up. You know what I mean? Like baseball doesn't have anything close to that. The movement in baseball, we don't cover it daily like we do with basketball. It consumes us. The soap opera of it, the wanting to play it, all of it does.
Right. Now, I mean, once upon a time.
Football, too. We're talking about Antonio Brown.
You can make big money in baseball, right? Like you can, because, you know.
Heck yeah, you can.
It's happened before. You can get huge contracts in baseball.
But it's a longer game, though.
It is a longer game.
I don't just mean in the individual game itself.
There are literally fewer guarantees.
Yeah.
There's less guaranteed money in the first round if you're a first rounder in baseball than if you are in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Which, that's why people tell them Kyler is a smart move.
No
up
question.
Up front, too.
Yeah, and listen, if you could draft them in the first round by an NFL team, you are the plan. You are part of their future, and they're going to give you opportunities.
Especially if you are QB.
No doubt. In baseball, there, like you said, there
you
is
still
a.
You gotta go through the grind.
There is a usually a process to things. So yes, no question about it. Kyler Murray is going to be a first rounder. By the way, no player has ever been a first round pick in both the NFL and MLB drafts. That will change in a couple months. Kyler Murray will be a first round pick. I don't think, frankly, he's getting past the Jaguars. I don't think he's getting past number 7. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he goes 13 to the Dolphins.
Depends on if the Jaguars make a move on another QB.
But he, I'm telling you.
On a veteran and make a move.
If you draft Drew Lock ahead of Kyler Murray, to me, that's a mistake. Because I know maybe Drew Lock possesses more of the, you know, the mechanics and all these things that, you know, the NFL likes. But Kyler Murray represents, like, you got to shred your playbook and you got to build around him. Because if you can get the most out of him.
Yeah.
Like, he could change your franchise
like your
for a decade.
Your ceiling would be possibly higher.
There's
much
no
like,
question
like Baker,
about it.
Like Baker. He's right. Just look at that star quality.
Everybody's worried about his height, too.
Games changed.
He only had 5 passes that were batted down this season. That's it.
Is that true?
Yes, he only had 5.
Oh, I'd have bet it was way more than that, even knowing his success. Because they roll him out. That's what I'm telling you. It's a new game. You don't just sit back there, 5-step drop, and throw it. These shorter guys, I mean, even the taller, you're rolling them out now. It's a newer game.
Five batted passes. The Duke quarterback had 12. He's 6'5". Drew Lock 6'4". He had 8. Will Greer had 1. Dwayne Haskins also had 5.
See, Dwayne sits in that pocket.
Yeah.
And he's a big boy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, anyway, Kyler Murray is headed to the NFL draft. People are saying maybe the Raiders take a look at him. I could see Gruden doing it, but I think we have a quarterback. I really do. I think
you want to have your guy. I think Gruden just sees him as a chip.
I don't want to do the rookie quarterback thing again. That's hard. Quarterback thing is hard.
Good luck,
you know.
Buddy.
So anyway,
yeah, I do know.
That is that. All right, we'll come back. Clay Travis is going to join us. We'll talk to Clay Travis about Kyler Murray. We'll talk to him about the AAF. Lots to get to with Clay Travis. We will do that next. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Best appear on the Sportsbook at First Jackpot Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And every Tuesday at this time, we talk to Clay Travis. Let's get it.
It's Clay Travis from Outkick the Coverage, Clay's radio show. Listen to it weekdays from 6 till 9 a.m. on ESPN 790 AM. Hear him now with Jason and John on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Clay, what's happening?
Hey, what's up? Doing well. How about y'all?
Everything is good. So, interesting story today that we talked about earlier on our show. Tucson and Birmingham, both cities are apparently partnering to put together a renewed effort to basically host the Raiders in 2019 as they are looking for a home. So I guess they would split 8 games between Tucson and Birmingham. They may be in London, so it may be even fewer than that. Does that make any sense to you whatsoever?
Wait, who are the two cities?
Birmingham and Tucson. They're partnering.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes, Birmingham, yes, Alabama. Sir. Yes.
No, that doesn't make any sense at all to me.
But you have to, like, I mean, it's good publicity, though, for your city, right? Like, if you're the mayor and you say, hey, we want to bring the Raiders to, I mean, it's crazy and it probably won't happen, but, you know, at least your constituents will love you for it, right?
Yeah, but I don't, I mean, you'd play 4 games in Legion Field, which is the most recent updates I've heard. I haven't been to Legion Field. It's a total dump.
Yes.
And then you would also play 4 games, I guess, in the University of Arizona Stadium in Tucson. That's wildly different economic, I mean, not economic, geographic and, you know, like weather-related phenomenon, right? Like, where do you train? Are you putting the team half the time in Tucson, half the time in Birmingham? How is the schedule split up? Like, I think, frankly, that's nonsensical. I could understand more if Tucson said, hey, we want to host the Raiders for the entire season, and if Birmingham, or Memphis for that matter, said, hey, we want to host the Raiders for the entire season. Mm-hmm. I can see that argument being made. I don't think it makes sense for the Raiders to come this far to the east, personally, if you know you're going to Las Vegas and if you know you are going to move. I mean, I guess I could kind of see Arizona, but to me, the no-brainer, if you're going to play in a college stadium, is just go and play at UNLV. And wait for the Raiders stadium to be finished there. I mean, you know, people who are old school, I can't believe I had to say old school now, but we'll remember what happened when the Titans tried to play in Memphis. It's hard to get people to embrace a team that is not coming to stay full time. And so if I were the Raiders, I would want to go ahead and get to Las Vegas and start working on making, you know, that my new home, and I'd want to play even in UNLV Stadium, even if it's not a very good stadium. Look, the Chargers played in StubHub Arena or whatever it's called. I mean, that's a tiny stadium in LA to try to get used to their new home environment. So if I were the Raiders, if you're looking at a college stadium in any way, I'd go ahead and play at in Las Vegas.
As much as I'd like to make fun of my co-host, who's a Raiders fan, for being the Birmingham Raiders, I think you're right, Clay. It'd be silly to do. What speaking of Birmingham, the Iron, you saw them shut out Memphis in the AAF in the opening weekend. What'd you take from the AAF's opening weekend, Clay? You think from what we've seen, do you think this thing can be a success for a few years, maybe even more?
I'm more curious by what you guys think, because you're in an AAF market. Mm-hmm. Is there interest in Memphis in this league?
Well, you better score, number one, right? Have an offense. Yeah. What I said is, okay, you can tell them we're going to have fun and come watch football and maybe get them in there. Maybe you get 15, 20,000, but you better have good football if they're going to stay, Clay. What do you think?
I think we might have the wrong fit for our coach, Clay.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I'll be honest with you. The AAF, I was not paying a lot of attention to. I was stunned that the AAF on CBS outdrew the NBA on ABC. I certainly know that football is infinitely more popular in this country than basketball, but that still surprised me because I didn't feel like the AAF, it kind of felt like a soft open as opposed to like a hardcore, like you got to watch us, can't miss us. And that's not a negative because I think the XFL went for, oh, we're going to compete with the NFL.
Right.
I think it's better to keep expectations low and not then fail to meet them, which leads to negativity, than it is like, I think the way that most people reacted was, wow, I can't believe more people watch this spring football league. I don't know that there's room for 2 spring football leagues.
Right.
But I think in this day and age where live sports is such a big draw for television in general to exist, I think there's probably enough interest. I mean, can you get 10% of the NFL audience to pay attention to gamble to watch the AAF or the XFL. That doesn't seem like an unrealistic number to shoot for. And if you get 10% of the NFL's audience, I think you'd have a pretty viable business.
Yeah, I think they've really done a good job of, you know, strategically placing this league, because it's coming at a time in the calendar where, you know, NFL obviously is over, Super Bowl's over. College basketball, as we know, is kind of considered a 6-week sport. The NBA has, you know, several months to go before people really start cranking up and paying attention to that. So I actually, you know, it actually makes a lot of sense what they did. And I do think there is still such an appetite for football. And, you know, these are names that, you know, I mean, people know Christian Hackenberg. People know Zach Mettenberger, you know.
I know he's terrible.
Yeah, there are names in this league, no matter how good they are, that people recognize. So I think the formula might actually work.
I think the challenge is going to be, as you guys were just talking, the quarterback play is not going to be that high, probably.
100%.
Because
yes.
The quarterback play in the NFL oftentimes is not very high. I mean, it's just it is by far the most difficult job to hire for in all of sports, and I'm not sure there's remotely even a close second.
So,
typically that is where you see the drop-off. Now, the flip side is, I think there are a lot of guys who are hanging on as third stringers or who hope to one day be able to advance to a second string or whatever else that don't get a lot of reps. And I can see the NFL wanting these leagues to succeed because it gets kind of some live bullets, for lack of a better phrase, for these quarterbacks to see what they're capable of doing somewhere outside of a preseason game and somewhere outside of practice, where I think it's really hard to judge because there's not a lot of, let's be honest, in preseason football, it's not like there's a lot of difficulty in terms of what defenses are being played. And I think certainly when you're getting reps in camp, it's even harder to tell exactly how things break down. So I think this makes a lot of sense in terms of increasing the quality of overall football and also increasing the number of players that can get exposure to live snaps and be able to see for scouts who's capable of making big plays and who's not.
So I'm curious, Clay, will you guys touch these games and lock it in? Have you already? Do you plan to? I figure, you know, if it gets into mainstream gambling, that probably helps the league too. Will you guys treat it as real football?
I'm looking at our rundown right now, and the AAF is not, you know, I'll give you a preview. Right now, our storylines are as follows for our opening A block, which is before the commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking Sixers, Celtics, LeBron against Atlanta, Golden State against Utah, and then Duke against Louisville and Kentucky against LSU.
Heavy basketball.
So those are the five stories that we are planning on hitting out of the jump, and they're all games, obviously, that are taking place tonight. I think we'll probably talk about it some, but not much more, I wouldn't imagine, than just a like, we've got Darren Revelle on as our guest today, so I think it's probably a decent chance we'll discuss that with him. In general, I think it's not going to be like we're breaking it down
the same way
with
these.
The NFL or college football.
Gotcha.
We are, of course, talking to Clay Travis. He joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. One of the biggest stories right now in sports is Kyler Murray's decision and his decision to choose football over baseball. Was there really ever any doubt about what he would do? I mean, even when you think about that awkward Dan Patrick interview, right? I mean, like, it just felt like football was always what he wanted to do. Was there any doubt in your mind that was going to be the route he took?
No, I think it's the right decision. I think it was the right decision from an economic perspective. He can make a lot more money as a first-round quarterback under guaranteed contracts in the NFL for 4 years with the team option to pick up a fifth than he can under a guaranteed contract in Major League Baseball. Half of first-round picks play in the major leagues. Only 46% of them last for longer than 3 years. So I understand the argument of, oh, baseball, you have greater longevity, but I don't think that's true at the quarterback position. In fact, if you look at the quarterback position, there are a lot of guys. I mean, Brady's 41, Drew Brees is 40, Phillip Rivers is getting up there. There are a lot of guys who are able to play for a long time at that position in the NFL, and if Kyler Murray is a good one, then he could play for 15, 18 years at a high level in the NFL. So, I'm not surprised. I think he made the right decision, and it seems like not only did he make the right decision financially, he made the right decision in terms of what he enjoys doing, mm-hmm. which it appears to me is play football.
Do you see any way he falls out of the top seven? Like, I mean, the Jaguars are sitting there at seven, and we know they need a quarterback desperately. Like, is there any way you think he falls out of the top seven?
Well, it could be. You know, I mean, the Jags could decide, you know what, we like Drew Locke, or we would like Dwayne Haskins, or, you know, maybe we like the guy from Duke, Daniel Jones, I think. Or, you know, you never know exactly how the combine is going to go, how the interviews, how all the different, you know, sort of sizing and matching up and analyzing all of the talented players that are deciding to make themselves up for eligible for the draft is going to go. But you would think that certainly he would go in the high part of the first round, just because this is as we said earlier, talking about the AAF, this is a quarterback desperate league. Mm-hmm. And if you think that Kyler Murray's, that his ceiling is a high one, then there's no reason why you wouldn't draft him, certainly at a high level.
If you were GM, Golly, which one would you take first, Haskins or Murray? I'm just curious. Would you go pocket passer? Would you go the short, perhaps star in Kyler Murray?
I might be going off the board here. I really like Drew Locke. It wouldn't shock me at all if he goes top 10 as well. I've watched all these guys play a lot, and Drew Locke seems to me to be the more prototypical pocket passer. I think he's a better athlete than Dwayne Haskins, notwithstanding the fact that Stephen A. Smith said he thought he was more of a running quarterback, which was obviously a ridiculous analysis from Stephen A. But I think Drew Locke is really athletic. I think no one can throw the deep ball better than him. So I think if I had to make a pick just based on, and look, I'm far from an expert, based on having watched all these guys play, and I would toss in Will Greer. I've not watched the guy from Duke play that much, but of the Greer, Haskins, the Kyler Murray and the Drew Locke quadre of available quarterbacks out there that seem to be expected to go fairly high, I think I like Drew Locke the most.
On Stephen A., he has had several gaffes over the last couple of months, right? He thought that Hunter Henry was healthy and playing for, at that time he caught on the San Diego Chargers. I'll forgive that. Say it was their first year in L.A., I'll forgive that. He thought Derek Johnson still played for the Chiefs, who most recently was with the Oakland Raiders.
It was also retired.
It was also retired, yeah. That's a key detail as well. And then you see, you know, him basically say that Dwayne Haskins is a runner. It feels like they're stretching Stephen A. Like they're using him a lot, maybe too much.
Look, I think there are relatively few people who can almost identically speak to what he is doing, right? I mean, I do 3 hours of daily radio. I do an hour of daily television. Obviously, I hop on and do local radio hits all over the country, too, like with you guys. And then I do a daily Periscope and Facebook. And, you know, while we're talking, I'm in the process of writing on my website. So, look, I get having people pulling you at every different direction. Television, though, it shouldn't be possible to make an error that bad, right? Now, first of all, I think one of the things that you have to do if you're in our business is actually watch the game.
No doubt.
And I understand that we have long days, and trust me, I get sometimes you're like, man, the last thing I want to do is sit down and watch a game. And believe me, like, even if you get to do something that you love, sometimes you're like, man, I'd rather watch the new Game of Thrones, or, you know, you're a parent and you're like, man, I got to take my kid and go coach his little league basketball game, which I got to do tonight. And I might miss some of the games going on. Right. But I think what you are offering out is that you may not be an expert, but you are a reasonably intelligent fan. And I think that that's a relatively easy standard to meet, right? You may not agree with all my opinions, but I watch a lot of football. And I watch a lot of sports in general. So to me, when you say Dwayne Haskins is more of a runner to you than a passer, what you're basically saying is you didn't bother to watch a single Ohio State game year. You didn't watch him play against Michigan. You didn't watch him play against Penn State. You didn't watch, like, I mean, they played a lot of big games. You know, you didn't watch him play against TCU, like, where all you would have had to do is kick back, pop open a beer,
watch the highlights,
watch a half of Dwayne Haskins, and you would have said, okay, this dude is either going to make it or he's going to fail as a pocket passer in the NFL. I actually think that of all those guys I just ran through, and again, I'm not an expert on Duke's quarterback. I just didn't watch them play enough. even as much as I watch college football. I think Dwayne Haskins is the least athletic of all four of those guys that I mentioned earlier, right? Mm-hmm. Will Greer, Drew Locke, and Kyler Murray. I think Dwayne Haskins is the least athletic. That's not a knock on him, but he's a lot more like Byron Leftwich, if you want to put him in black quarterback parlance, than he is Michael Vick, right? And so to me, what Stephen A. did is just demonstrate that he had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. And on top of having no idea what he was talking about, he didn't rely on the staff that all works on that television show. It's not like on live radio, I have no idea what questions you're going to ask me, right? Mm-hmm. You guys don't email me and say, like, hey, we're going to talk about these right. five subjects. I've got to be prepared to answer any question under the moon, right? It's one reason why I like it. When we do live radio, at least for me, like, I don't come in and say, hey, this is what all 12 of the segments that I'm going to do during the 3 hours that I do the show are going to be like. So you can make mistakes on live radio in a way that you can't on television because you don't know what a caller is going to say. You don't know what a guest is going to say. You know exactly what every subject and topic is going to be on television. They're all laid out in advance. They send you the entire rundown. I just told you the five topics we're going to do in a row mm-hmm. on television. So if you are not well-versed and prepared to discuss those topics, that's on you. Because your staff will make sure that you are well-versed, and I think it's just Stephen A. being lazy. Like, I, you know, look, I think he's an incredibly talented guy. I think he's very entertaining. I hope he makes as much money as he possibly can because, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, given that we're in very similar professions. And I'm not saying I'm not going to have stupid opinions sometimes, but thinking Dwayne Haskins is more of a running quarterback than a passing quarterback is an indefensibly stupid opinion, yeah. in my opinion.
But I mean, on this one, we've all got our weaknesses, right? Our weak areas. And I know we got a roll, so I'll wrap it up with you, Clay. But we've all got our weak areas. That football is clearly his. He has no credibility whatsoever in it. That said, I think the difference between you, whether yours basketball, whatever, mine's college football, we're not going to step out there and say something stupid or have a take on something we haven't watched. That's the difference.
Amen.
And that's it.
Not,
I mean,
I'm not
that's where he blows it.
Hockey. I preface every opinion I ever give about hockey with, look, I got
hockey,
no idea
right,
how
for
to
you.
Play hockey.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm just a casual fan watching this game. Same thing.
I'm same thing.
By the way, when it comes to baseball, like, I played baseball my whole life, but I'm not watching every night.
And going to try
so
to have a
I
take.
I think your audience yeah. understands and appreciates that you can't be an expert in everything.
Right.
Not being well-versed in football, to me, is tougher to justify because there's only one game a week. So
no,
it may be hard to keep up with Major League Baseball or the NBA or the NHL because there's so many games every week. All you got to do is watch a team play for 3 hours, and all you got to do is watch one game for Ohio State to have an intelligent opinion there, and evidently he hasn't spent the time to do it. Yep.
No doubt. Clay, always appreciated. How can you help our listeners today?
Yeah, everybody out there right now, as it gets closer to spring and spring break and everything else, a lot of people thinking about moving. Happens every year, the busiest time of year, spring and summer. Schools get out, everybody thinking about moving into new neighborhoods, new school districts, maybe you got a new baby on the way, maybe you never bought a mortgage before, and a lot of people haven't. I was so intimidated about getting a mortgage, I had no idea what to do. Let me tell you, my guy Ryan Kelly at The Home Loan Expert, he'll get you pre-qualified in 5 minutes. 5 minutes is what it takes to get pre-qualified to a mortgage. All you got to do is go to thehomeloanexpert.com. Give them 5 minutes. They'll get you pre-qualified, have you ready to buy a new home anywhere all over the city of Memphis and beyond. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
Clay, always appreciate
Thanks,
it,
man.
Thank you.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me. Thanks a lot.
Yep. He is Clay Travis. All right, we'll come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Westbrook made history on Monday night with his 10th consecutive triple-double, passing Wilt Chamberlain his mark of 9 that he set in 1968. Michael Jordan had a press conference earlier today, at the Charlotte Hornets facility. What? Are you okay?
No.
You can't comprehend Russell Westbrook's achievements?
I'm choking on Coke.
Well, please don't die. Actually, if you
Well, thanks for being so sensitive
if
about
you,
it.
It would be a good 1 o'clock please segment if we die. Have to wheel you out of here and because of you know because you're choking. Or
appreciate your real timely. Concern there, John.
I didn't realize what was happening over there. I was trying to just talk about Russell Westbrook. Michael Jordan had a press conference. He owns the Hornets, and he had a press conference earlier today, and he talked about not only Russell Westbrook's triple doubles, but also James Harden's streak of 30 straight 30-point games. And this is Michael Jordan from earlier today.
Which one do you feel like was harder to achieve? Which one was more difficult?
But that's okay. That's okay. I know. I figured it was going to get that. Both. They're all both hard, you know. And uniquely, it shows the talent, you know, that we have within the league. It shows still progression within the league. I'm very proud about what both guys have done because they're making their mark. For the league, and I think it really helps to grow the league, which is harder from a player standpoint. 6 championships, by all means.
Yeah, so there you go. That's Michael Jordan. I'm assuming he was asked. The question was, which is harder, the triple double, which is harder to achieve, 10 straight triple doubles, or 30 straight 30-point games? And of course, MJ, your GOAT. You know, had to get it in there. He had to remind everybody that he won
my goat and very many others.
He had to remind, are you going to be okay, man? We can't do the show. You're dying.
I'm fine.
Okay, you good now?
Yeah.
Okay. He had to remind everybody that he won 6 championships, which I can.
Yeah, you don't like that.
I can appreciate that. Not that there would be a question about that, though.
Not a question about that, but there is a question about what's going on with particularly, it's hard. And I was watching that when you mentioned you were watching Doncic in the versus the Rockets last night. It was a win for the Rockets, obviously. But at that game and during the final stages of that game, Harden had to score 11, I think it was. And, yeah, I'm looking at it now in the final 100 seconds to get the 31. So to get to that 30 straight 30-point games, they had to give him the ball at the end. This game was out. You know, it was, for the most part, decided. And there at the end, they're trying to get him that last three. And It's really weird to watch this. I respect what Harden, much like Mike. I mean, what they're doing is amazing. What Harden's doing is amazing because it's amazing in just the sense you know it's coming, just the fundamental sense that you know it is coming and you cannot stop it. We've talked about that before. Westbrook, same way. I've talked about how, you know, what he's doing with these triple-doubles, it's amazing. That said, when a game's decided, right, and when a lot of teams will be sitting their stars, they've still got Harden out there trying to get the record. And it's like, is that for the purists – right, and you think about them more in baseball, mm-hmm. right? You wouldn't like that, right? Because it doesn't go in the flow. Normally you'd have your star sitting, and that guy doesn't get the 31. We realize there's something special going on, so I get that argument too. And why not have him continue to go for something special? That said, you're still in a way padding the stats.
Yep.
Now, Mike Greenberg this morning brought up a great point to my take there that. This feels a little uncomfortable, right? They're forcing the ball to him at the end of the game, and game's already decided to give him these points. His point was this, that, and I didn't realize this. Do you realize one season for Wilt Chamberlain, he averaged 48 and a half minutes. You say, well, damn, Jason, how in the world can he average 48 and a half minutes? They only played 12-minute quarters, Jason. There's not that many minutes. Well, it's because he played so many overtimes that season.
Yep.
And Greenberg pointed out, you talk about amazing what Westbrook and Harden are doing. This was amazing.
Yep.
Wilt Chamberlain that season, he only missed 8 minutes the entire regular season. He was on the floor the whole time. Yep. And so Greenberg's point, and it was really to me and the people that are, you know, maybe feeling a little uncomfortable, like this is padding stats, it was, well, if you feel that way about them, then you had to feel that way about Wilt because they never took him off the floor. 8 minutes in a regular season, that's all he sat out, John? Can you imagine that?
No.
He's on the floor at all times. And so for that, you'd say that, well, his stats then would be inflated because he's always on the floor. So how can you have the take, right, on the other two, Wilt's out there the entire time and sit him down. And so I found that very interesting. Number one, a man could just sit out 8 minutes for an entire regular season. That's it. I mean, Harden and Greenberg made the point. Harden and Westbrook both sat out more than 8 minutes in last night's games.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. Still, even with that said, I like that argument. It's a fair one. It's a It's a smart one.
Well, I mean,
doesn't it still feel a little weird to see them trying to force the ball to Harden at the end to get the point? Like, do you like that? Is that something?
I mean, of course I don't like it. I don't know anybody that does other than
the
Rockets.
Well, how much of it is – there's part of it that you're a Grizzlies fan and we probably don't like James – the Rockets is in, you know. Take that part out. I'm just talking about as an NBA basketball fan. Is it fun to watch? I guess.
No, I mean,
it feels forced.
I like free moving basketball. Like I like making the extra pass. I like reversing the ball. Like, I like good ball movement. That's what I like. I don't like when the ball sticks. I hate that kind of basketball. Period.
ISO, just pound, pound,
yeah,
pound.
Yeah, that's
pound,
LA.
Pound.
That's LA fitness basketball, bro. Like I like when the ball moves and it reverses and there are screens and I enjoy that. Like that's the part of basketball that I like.
See,
I like the way the Spurs play. I like the way the Warriors play. That's the kind of basketball I enjoy watching.
And even with Westbrook, it's a little bit different. You know, sometimes maybe there a guy clears out of the way so you can grab a rebound so you can get your triple-double, so that go to sort of leaving Harden in. But in Westbrook in the triple-double, there's the rebound and the assist.
Yep.
And that's getting others involved. You know what I mean? Not so much the rebound, but the assist. You can still play that team game in that. And in this streak that Harden's got, as impressive as it is, 30 mm-hmm. – you know, 30 straight games of 30 or more, it becomes just about him, to your point. It's just about the ISO, just about the step back J, just about driving to the hole, trying to get the foul call or convert the basket, either way. And it's just, to me, yes, watching someone try to stop it, I guess you could say, yeah, I want to tune in tonight, see if they can stop this thing. But to me, that's not, it's not coming in a team, you know what I mean? The kind of flow that we, like you just said, like we like to see.
Yeah.
And so for Westbrook, I think it's more impressive what he's done in the 30 straight, because they're force-feeding Harden at this point.
And I think, honestly, with the Wilt stuff, I think it's just it goes back to people's childhoods, right? Like people grow up in different times, and they always feel like, you know, whether it's growing up as a Michael Jordan fan and you feel like LeBron can never touch him, or you don't want LeBron to touch him or whatever, you know, I think a lot of that is generational stuff. You know, like you said, like people probably don't realize that Wilt never came off the floor.
The shape you would have to be in to do that, and those big guys like that with their knee issues and all that, to only come off the floor for 8 minutes in the entire regular season.
Well, the NBA is better and more talented than it's ever been.
Of course.
You know, and so.
We get that it's a different game now.
Yeah, so.
Still,
I mean,
that's a long time to be on the floor running up and down.
Oh, it is.
The kind of athlete that dude had to be to do that.
Yeah, but who was Wilt playing with in 68?
A bunch of yous out there.
Exactly. Wilt was playing with a bunch of friggin', I don't even want to say no names, man.
Was Bennett out there?
I'm not going to say
that. Or just you?
No. You know, who was he playing alongside? Just a bunch of tall, goofy white dudes. I mean, that's who he was playing against, you know?
Russell, why they got to be goofy, John?
Because they were. Let's be honest. They were. And Russell Westbrook is playing against, you know, the best athletes in the world. So, and James Harden is this too, as well. But even though I don't necessarily like to watch it happen, but it is happening.
Well, you started this. You don't like the GOAT, Michael Jordan, reminding us all that he won six. You don't like that?
It was unnecessary. We all get it, Mike. We understand.
Why do you hate on that man?
I don't hate on that man. I just don't like his jeans. I think his jeans are a little too big. I think he makes too much money to, like, take some fashion advice from Penny. Have you ever noticed Penny Hardaway, what he wears?
Do I notice what he wears? Is he sucks the air out of the room with his wardrobe.
Yeah, like he went to a Black Excellence party, which I guess my invite got lost in the mail on that one. I'm not sure why I wasn't invited to that one.
It's not silver and Black Excellence, fool.
Huh? I can't get invited to a Black Excellence party?
Well, I didn't get invited either.
Then you should really be offended. But there was a picture that Curtis Givens posted on his Instagram of Penny Hardaway. Who just, I mean, you want to talk about goats. I mean, he makes Michael Jordan look like a homeless man. Let's be honest. He's wearing a Louis Vuitton shirt.
Good grief.
Button down.
He looks like money, Benny. He looks like $50 million. Have you seen this picture?
I did see that, yeah.
What is that, on Instagram?
Yeah,
No wonder I didn't see it.
He's got you on...
Jordan likes to wear, like, the rich man at the casinos outfit.
What is that? But like, big mom jeans?
He's
corduroy blazer,
like
big jeans.
Mike got style.
No, this is blasphemy. He's always
style.
Rocking kind of like the oversized leather jacket with, like, shoulder pads, and he's got the cigar in his mouth.
Shoulder
like,
pads?
Yeah.
Why you got to point that out?
You think Michael Jordan has style?
Bro.
You think Michael Jordan has – let's just take the championships out of it. You think he has a good fashion sense.
Bro, he sets the tone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.